Thank you, Cindy. How many of you knew that song? Okay, you want to date yourself? How many of you remember George Beverly Shea? You remember that? George Beverly Shea, this was the song. The young folks are staring at me. George Beverly Shea was way back in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s. He was Billy Graham's soloist in all his crusades. And he had the coolest voice. Remember that rich baritone voice that he had? When we were singing that, Cindy, I could hear him singing again. I could see him. Now you're old, and how old I really am, I guess. All right, doesn't matter. I'm here. I'm alive. Okay, my wife sends her greetings and apologies. We were planning on coming, but Dawn and I are involved in a project at the church and deals with Christian education. So I've been working with the youth and the adults. We're doing a lot of evaluation, a lot of tuning things up, and she's been doing, what a surprise, the children, okay? And they called a meeting, and she didn't realize it and couldn't get it changed. So that's why she's not here. She says, please tell them I've missed them, and I'm glad that we're still in communication with each other, which we are very thankful for. So Anita, thank you. I really did try to get the floor down to your place this winter, but it looked like it was really far. It's more than 30 minutes, I don't know. Okay, this morning we're going to talk about something that is as basic a topic that any Christian can talk about, at least I hope so. And it's one of those things that I'm not going to say it. I want to ask you a question. This will lead us into it. What are things that we take for granted in our everyday life? What if this? You got to talk out loud now. You're not getting graded, so just whatever you think.
Freedom.
Freedom. Very appropriate. We take it for granted, don't we? Until it's taken away somehow. But okay. What else? Come on.
Air conditioning.
Air conditioning. You are right. These are the types of things I'm looking for. What else?
Transportation.
Transportation.
Sunshine.
Sunshine. Okay?
Oxygen.
Rain.
Electricity.
Electricity. Oh, isn't that nice to flip the switch? My dad used to, I said, Dad, don't I want to hear about it? He remembers when you couldn't just flip the switch, you know. But anyways, what else? Come on. Get down to a personal level.
Well, our church family.
There you go. Your church family. Don't you take each other for granted sometimes until one of you gets really sick? Or you get really old. Truthful. You know, I'm finding out that I'm obviously not as young as I used to be. That's a no-brainer, okay? I have to go up and down the stairs very carefully because I lose the steps in my glasses somewhere. You ever have that problem? But we take things growing old, we take for granted because all of a sudden, my brother, oldest brother, he was in ministry over 60 years. I've talked about him before. He says when he turned 70, everything fell apart. I said, you're a real encouraging person, brother. I'm not there yet, but I'm looking at it. All right? What else?
Husbands.
Husbands. And a husband. And a husband said that. Thank you. Oh, I wish my wife was here. No. Okay, what lady's gonna say wives? Come on. Wives, okay? You get the idea. There's a lot of things Jack said transportation. Isn't that the truth? You get up in the morning, you gotta get to work, and you're running late, and you turn the key and the car starts. But it's the morning when you turn the key and it doesn't start. You go, ooh, we got a problem here.
Freedom to worship.
Freedom to worship, yeah. I see that the Supreme Court just made a ruling, what's it been, a couple weeks ago, in strengthening our religious freedom in this country once again. Don't take it for granted, folks.
The children in here.
Oh, the kids.
Yeah.
Did you see Tasha's two kids up here? Could you see them? They were talking, and then all of a sudden, and I forgot names, Tasha. I call her little Tasha, okay? She reached over and gave her brother a hug.
That's good.
That was so cute. When she gets older, I don't know. Anyways, but there's things we take for granted. How about the fact, do we take prayer for granted? Sure we do. Do we take the presence of God in our lives for granted? Yes, we do. How about Jesus? You know, when you're a child, I remember them telling me about God, my Heavenly Father, and I sort of got that. But what I really fell in love with was Jesus. Because Jesus used to walk among us. Jesus learned to be a carpenter, and Jesus did many things. We take him for granted. But you know, there's a few other things we take for granted. We take for granted God's grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. But you know, there's one that, if you look at the title of the message today, this is one of those I think is a biggie. We take the love of God that we just sang about, we take it for granted, don't we? If we'd be honest with ourselves, I'm not saying everybody, and I'm not saying we completely wipe it out, but you know, when you're going through a difficult time, whatever it might be, a death in the family, a sickness, depression, frustration, okay, you get overwhelmed, we have to remember something. God loves us. God loves us. And whatever we're going to need, he knew about it before it happened. There's no surprises with God. He doesn't go, oh my goodness, you're sick. He doesn't go, oh no, you're having a hard time. No, he loves us so much, he knows all about us all the time. So I want to talk this morning about the love of God. If you have your Bibles, would you open them? Brian, are you putting this on the screen? These verses, I mean, or not? Okay. Title of the message is The Command to Love. I've studied this passage in Romans endless times, studied Romans endless times. And I love to study it because it reminds me of things. You ever study something in Scripture and you go, oh yeah, or I did forget that, or this is one of those things, that the love of God, our love towards God, our love towards people is not an option. Duh. This is a command. Let me read it for you. It's Romans 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, and this is some Ten Commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Whoa. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Because the Ten Commandments speak about a relationship with other people, like our neighbors. And we'll get back to that in a moment. Verse 11, do this knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, in light of what he just said, that's what therefore, you look, see what it's there for. In light of what he says, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, or as one of the commentators that I have said, not in bickering and envy. All right? Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. Okay? So, we're in the book of Romans today. This is the passage. Romans, really quick. Paul wrote Romans from the city of Corinth. City of Corinth was extremely, extremely morally corrupt. Okay? Yeah, I can picture Paul sitting in a room somewhere, maybe overlooking the city. And he's watching the Christians in that city, as well as just the citizens of that city, going about their day-to-day activity. Remember, Paul was a missionary. Paul planted churches. And if he didn't plant them, he would go come back behind people, and he was their pastor, quote-unquote. He was their theologian. He taught them doctrine. We're blessed today that we have all these reference books and commentaries and everything else. You can get a, I've said to you last year, please, get yourself a study Bible. Because you can go in there and you can find, get answers to questions you might have, but maybe you're too embarrassed to ask anybody. That's not a good idea. But you can ask people things. It's okay. But I say, we have all these things available. These people didn't have anything. All they had was letters from apostles. This happens to be Paul. So this is what you're seeing here. He's trying to point out to the folks that the importance of things in their lives and maybe things that they're not doing correctly or properly, et cetera, et cetera. And this is what these are. These are the first 11 chapters of Romans is basically, it's doctrine. It's doctrine. You study, if you ever want to study the basic doctrines of the Christian faith, go start reading the first 11 chapters of Romans. Because that's what he's teaching them, and that's what we can learn from it today. Chapters 12 forward is taking the doctrine, and now it becomes application. Here's how you're to use what I've instructed you here in these early letters. So this is part of a doctrine. This is part of what God's plan is. So if you look at the verse, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And you read that we are commanded to be this way and to have this as part of our lives. And that's what I want to focus on today is the love of God. A little background and then some of the application. But here's some things that God, I want to get this going first. God's love energizes us. Okay? It energizes us. Some people get up on Sunday morning and go, I don't feel like going to church. I like to just stay home. But I invited so-and-so to church. Or I want to see how so-and-so at church is feeling or how they're doing. They've been through a difficult day. What energizes you is God's love in your heart. You see someone who has a great need, and there's a lot of people with needs in our country. Yes, some of it's their own fault. We know that. But it's not an excuse to not love them. We have to love them somehow because that's what God is saying. You'll see that in a moment. God's love empowers us. God's love empowers us. You're going through a difficult time, say at work. You got somebody who you worked with who's just really annoying. You ever work with somebody like that? They're just annoying. Yeah, we do. Sometimes, my kids would annoy me. Do your kids ever annoy you? Sometimes, and I smile now because my oldest son has a 12-year-old. And when the 12-year-old and the 10-year-old are playing together, the 12-year-old picks on his brother. It's awful. And he doesn't like it. And I look at him and I says, you probably don't remember this, son, but when you were that age, you picked on your younger brother, Kyle, and it was a constant battle in the house. I said, if that annoys you, I said, God's just getting back with you. That's not nice. But we get empowered to love our kids even though they annoy us or they do things that are just embarrassing to us or they're not doing what they could be doing or should be doing, okay? So God's love energizes us. It empowers us. God's love is unconditional love that we need to work on. God's love gives us the ability, the power to forgive each other. One of my favorite uncles, would not consider him to be a Christian man. He was my hero because when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, he was a deputy sheriff and he carried a gun. You're that age and I had a gun too. Do any of you remember the Fanner 50s? That big thing you went like the cap guns? I used to show my Uncle Joe my gun. And he would pull his coat back so I could see his gun. Never gave it to me. I don't know why. But he never gave it to me. But my Uncle Joe went 7 years without talking to his mother, my grandmother. Seven. Can you comprehend that? 7 years. I don't know what happened. I was pretty young back then. But something happened between them, and neither one would forgive each other. 7 years. That's tragic. I've seen it happen within the walls of a church, which is totally inexcusable. Our love empowers us to do these things. All right, I better keep going to the meat now, all right? First thing we got, if you have an outline, you want to do things with it. God commands. It's a command. It's not an option. It's not if you feel like it. It's a command. We're to love one another. That's verse 8. It says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. I'm not going to get into the owe nothing thing. That's another discussion in itself. It's don't be in debt to people means you owe money, but you can't pay it back. That's the bad part of the money's issues, okay? So this is not speaking about borrowing some money. It's just can you pay it back? It says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Wow. Think about that. The basic principle of the Christian life is love. What did Christ say? People will know you're my disciples, you're my children, what? If what? You have love for one another. Think about that. I'm going to challenge you today. We'll still be friends and we're done, I hope, okay? Because this speaks to my heart deeply. Basic principle of the Christian life is love one another. I have some verses, I just got to pull them out. Here we go. What did I put? 1 John. Well, I don't have it. There it is. 1 John 3:23, right? It's on the screen. And this is the commandment that we should believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he has commanded us. The Apostle John wrote that. 1 John, the book, it's a letter, it's an epistle, was written by John, who wrote John and wrote Revelation. The book of 1 John, the theme of the whole book, the whole letter, is God's love. It's a love book. And so John, speaking from experience, says this is the commandment that we should believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. If we have the love of God in our heart, the love of Christ in our heart, we're going to love one another. I didn't say it was easy because we're human, but we got to get over this, not loving each other. We are, as God loves us unconditionally, Christ loved us sacrificially. He died on a cross for us. We have got to learn to sacrifice our own feelings, because that's what it comes down to. When you don't forgive somebody, your feelings have been hurt quite often, and you can't get over it. How they said that about me, you know. Well, get over it. We are to love people. We are to love the unlovely. Have you ever had experience that? That there's somebody in your life that you really wonder why you're even friends, okay? He's just an annoying, or she's an annoying person. Maybe she bullies you, young folks. Maybe they just like to hassle everybody. And that gets old, right? It gets old. But we're supposed to love them anyways. Wow, think about that. We're supposed to love them anyways. How can we possibly do that? It's because of the love of God in our heart enables us, empowers us to love other people. It's easy to love somebody when there's a need. Well, maybe it's easy. It depends on your temperament. Depends on your love for God. But when people, you know, they're having an issue or a problem, and the ladies relate to this probably better than us men, because us men kind of are oblivious to people around us at times, right, guys? We get focused. It's like they say when women go shopping, there's a purpose why they go shopping. When men go shopping, they walk in the store, buy that shirt or that pair of jeans, and they're out the door. Right, ladies? So Don and I have this agreement that we've worked out. She goes and does her thing, and I do mine, and I wait in the car. It works, okay? Action speaks louder than words. So Christians, this is written to Christians, we are to love one another. You have to think about that for a while. Got to love one another. Doesn't mean a passing thing. It means we got to love one another. We got to be sacrificial for one another. We've got to take care of each other's needs and reach out in that manner. So, we are facing in our country, let alone the world, there's a lot of hate and anger out there, isn't there? It's sad. It's pathetic. But God says we still have to love other people. Now, don't have a long time to talk about how we're to love them, but there's also a thing called tough love. If a person is in sin, or a person is not forgiving somebody, close to the same thing, I guess, we're supposed to help them deal with that. There is a tough love. We have to say, listen, your attitude towards that person just isn't Christ-like. It just isn't right. It doesn't mean we condone their behavior, but it means as Christians and as we have friendships and we have family, we got to be able to talk to them. We have to be able to say, listen, you need to just chill a little bit. That's what has to happen. So the first thing we see is John. Did I have another reference on there? I think I did. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. This is Christ speaking, of course. If you have love for one another. That's clearly stated. We're to love one another, especially Christian people. Okay, let's go on. The next part, it talks about, we're to love your neighbor, verse 9, as yourself. Okay? Love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Let me ask you a question. Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Is it just the person next door, across the street? We don't talk about that part enough. When I was being raised, I just assumed that loving your neighbor meant the people that lived around you. But as I grew older, I realized that that guy that I work with isn't my neighbor, like my next door neighbors, but he's still my neighbor. God has put him into my life for some reason, or put me into his life for some reason. We're to love your neighbor. That could be anybody. Did you realize that that neighbor could be a homeless dude standing on a corner with a sign? You ever thought about that? I know what we tend to do when we see a guy in the corner with a sign. I know it comes out of my mouth and my wife has to smack him. I don't say it out loud to him, but I'll sit there and I'll go, get a job. Right? Isn't that what we think? And some of them could get a job. They could. But for others, we don't. But that's basically, we don't know. But we're to have love for that homeless guy. Now that's when it gets tough. It's easy to love the lovable. It's not easy to love the unlovable, but because the love of God is in our heart, he empowers us. He gives us the strength to love other people. So the command to love isn't hammering on us, it's just pointing out the facts that we are made able to love people that aren't lovable. I've had those people in my life, and I know you all have too. But we're supposed to love them. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Don't you take good care of yourself? Right? You do stuff for yourself. Sometimes you have to make a choice to go here or go there, and you really don't feel like going there. So I'm just going to be me, and I'm going to go to this thing where you needed to be over there helping. I don't know what it is, but whatever it might be. So we're to love our neighbors ourselves. We have a certain amount of pride in our lives, which is not all bad because of the fact that I'm proud of the fact, as Paul wrote, I'm proud of the fact that I'm a child of the King. How about you? Jesus died for me. When I was in youth ministry for a bunch of years, I used to say to the young people, because you know when those ages, young folks could tell us better than I can explain it anymore, that self-image is to be formed and paid attention to because of what Jesus has done for us, what God did for us. But we live in a world that it's how you dress, what kind of car you drive, okay, what kind of job you got. So we let the world shape us. It's backwards, folks. We, young folks, we're to stand up for who we believe God has us to be, but number one thing is you're a child of the King. You are very, very important to God. Because if we weren't, he wouldn't have sent Jesus to die. That was a painful, humiliating death. And it impacted God so much. What happened the day that Christ died? What happened to the earth, to the atmosphere? Remember? They said the skies were so black you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. That's how, when God turned his back, that was hurtful. But we're supposed to be doing these things. We're supposed to reach out and take care of each other. We're supposed to love each other. Young people, you're created in the image of God. So what do I have here? Philippians 2, 3, and 4, I think. Do nothing from selfishness or empty deceit, conceit. Be with humility of mind. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. See, it's okay to look out for your own interest, but that can't be what your life is known for. We had a man in our church in Fort Wayne, was the church we are attending once again. But back when I was on staff at that church 30 years ago, we had a man there. His first name was Royal. It's a cool name. Royal Sprunger. Royal was an executive in the banking business somewhere. We never knew. He never talked about it. Because when I got to know Royal, he was retired. But here's a man of stature in the business world or whatever he was doing. And this man, if a project needed to be done at church, this is a guy that wore three-piece suits all the time. You get it? This is a man who had great honor among his peers. It didn't matter to him. He didn't talk about it. I remember walking from our office. It's a long story. I was walking past this man going to the main office, and there at the foot of the stairs is Royal Sprunger down on one knee sitting on the step, and he's scraping the paint off the wall. You ever done that? Sure you have. It's not the most pleasant work. But he's scraping it off because the walls were covered in a real shiny coat. So he had to work through that because they had blistered and stuff from humidity. And he was doing, and I looked around and he had about three or four spots cleaned off. And I came back the next day and they were all painted, looked like brand new. And nobody knew who did that. I did. That made an impression on my heart. That's what humility is about. That's what it's all about. So it says there, don't look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. I've often thought if his friends at work in the world he lived in, I wonder what they thought of that. They would have paid to have it done. No, he wasn't going to do that. He was going to serve the church in that manner. So we're to love one another. I get that right? We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Which means sacrificially. It means we're going to care for people. We're going to care for people. Maybe sometimes whenever I see a homeless person, this is what I do. Whenever I see a homeless person, the first thing I say is, Lord, should I help him? Should I? Because any money I've got is yours, and you just loan it, you just give it to me to be used. Is that the person I should help? Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. But if we love people, we're going to reach out and we're going to work with people and do everything we can for them. Love demands obedience. Okay? Actions speak louder than words. We visited a church in Fort Wayne. We visited a few churches before we settled in. We parked the car in the parking lot. It's a big church. We parked the car in the parking lot, and we walked from the parking lot up to the door of the church. It was one of these churches that has two or three services, so you got people constantly coming and going. So that's, I can't put it all on those folks, but it was kind of disappointing, and because I'd heard great things. And we got to the door of the church. The guy greeted us, gave us a bulletin, and said, thanks for being here today. We went into the church service. We sat down. Greeting time like you do, talking to people. Not one person came and talked to Don Rye. I said, I used deodorant this morning. What? Is there a sign on my back, visitor or not, or what? We got done with the service, and we walked out. I mean, I'm not racing out the doors. We're walking just normal pace, talking to each other. And I'm looking around to see if I knew anybody. And I walked all the way back, and we got in the car. Not one person. Well, you know what that says about the church? They're missing something. I'm being judgmental, okay? Sometimes it's a good thing. Actions speak louder than words. Don't sit there and say we love everybody and then you don't stop to help somebody. There are so many stories on the internet, and you know if it's on the internet, it's always true, right? Okay, you got that figured out? There was a story, it was on Facebook, and doesn't matter who it is because I don't know who it is. But there's a story on there that this man was at the end of a line in the grocery store. And there's two or three people in front of him, and there's a lady up front with a kid or a couple kids. And they ring up the tab, you know, for the groceries, and she didn't have enough money. How embarrassing. I mean, you got people waiting to check out, and you don't have the money to pay the bill. What do you do? Totally embarrassed, humiliated, so she's starting to take things back out of the bag to get the bill down. Guy at the end of the line looks up and he goes, my goodness, she's got a couple kids, she can't afford the groceries. Now, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, I have no idea, it doesn't matter. This is an illustration. He walks around, he says, excuse me, walks up to the front and said, what's the problem? And the cashier said, she doesn't have enough money for this. He said, okay. How much do you need? He reached in his pocket, paid for her groceries. That's love in action. As Christians, we can do that, maybe. We can do something to help people. Then on top of that, he helped her get out to the car, loaded him in her car, and then he gave her money for gas. And of course, she's bawling. I mean, she's just, you ladies know how to get to us, don't you? You start crying. He probably kept reaching in his pocket like that. But you see, you get the point? He showed love for somebody else he didn't even know. Christians, that should be what we do. That's what we should do. I know I'm preaching to the choir, as they say, okay? But this is a reminder, because I've been reminded of this. And I've been around people that have said the same thing to me. Another story of a lady, you ever heard them do this? They go to the drive-up window, and she paid her bill, and then she says, do you have the bills figured out for the people behind us? And yeah, I do. She says, fine. And she paid their bill. It's called what? Paying it forward or backwards or whatever direction. They said at that McDonald's or whatever it was that day, she started something. 168 people paid for the people behind them. And do you think that wasn't a blessing? But you know what the better thing was? The people that were taking the money and serving the food blew them away. What an example to set the young people. And I read a story about it. There were a few people in a particular church. As they were a Bible teaching church. That's what they did. Once a week, they would go to different drive-ups and they would pay the bill. That's love in action. That's love in action. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I know I'm talking money and you're thinking I'm on a fixed income. I understand all that. But it doesn't take much. Bake a dozen cookies and take them to the neighbor. Walk down and say hello to the person that just moved in the neighborhood. Say, hey, do you need any more help moving stuff? I don't know what you can do. All right. That's what we've got. I did them, right? Now, do you like the last part of the outline? I love this part. Here's what we need to do. I got to finish this up because I'm in up to here now. Here's I called it God's commands again, but this is a different level. This is more specifically how we love one another. Here's what we need to do as Christians. This is what we need to do in this day. You see it? Wake up, clean up, light up, and grow up. If we want to develop the love for other people, godly love for other people. This is what we got to be doing. Let me explain. Go back to verse, what verse am I on? 8, I think. Yeah, 8, 9, and 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. 11 through 14. Do this, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. That's an interpretive portion of Scripture. Some say take it right at face value. Some say it deals with the second coming of Christ. I believe that's what it's talking about. Even Paul, you know, since I was a kid, since you've been kids, okay, you've been told what? Jesus is coming again. And we sit around and we wait and we wait. Then we don't sit around and wait anymore. We just go about our lives and we forget about it. Listen, Jesus is coming again, right? Amen? It's time. I think it's getting closer. Every day it's closer, but I think it's really closer. I read something today that, or yesterday, it said that by talking about Christianity is weakening in the Western culture. I hate that headline. But it's showing growth. It says by 2050, the Muslim population of the world will double. That's kind of sobering. Their rate of growth around the world is better than Christianity. We have about a 34% growth rate. They're pushing up 50%. So when I read that verse, it has more meaning to me. Wake up. Wake up. This is what Paul is saying to the people at Corinth. Wake up. You're supposed to be doing some things here that God has commanded you, and this one is love. Wake up. Actions speak louder than words, folks. You know that. It's time to wake up. Talks about, I believe that America, I believe as a whole, I believe that the Christian church in America has fallen asleep. I really do. It's sad to say we've fallen asleep. Churches for more than just outside the walls of this facility. When I was a country church, I kind of shocked people when I first got there in many ways, okay? But when I said, have you ever thought about what's going on outside the walls of the church? People are lost. They don't have Christ in their heart and their life. What are you doing about it? But what I did say was, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it, church? And some people just looked at me like, I can't believe you said that out loud. Well, I did. Listen, we've got to wake up. I don't want my grandchildren to be overwhelmed with people of hate, people that aren't looking for peace in the world. They're looking to control the world. Wake up. How about verse 12? The night is almost gone and the day is near. Then it goes, therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Well, we got to clean up. Are we involved, Christians? Are you involved in deeds of darkness? I know what you're thinking. I know what my young people used to tell me. But Pastor, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't chew. And Pastor, I don't go out with girls who do. That's an old, old one. That's bad. Forget I said that. Rewind that, okay? But see, that was a standard. Now today, it's way over there, isn't it? The line has been moved again and again and again. I'll just let your imagination run there, okay? Be careful how you walk. The little kid's song, be careful little feet where you go. Be careful little, what is it, little eyes what you see and little ears what you hear. That's a little kid's song with a great message. Adults, be careful where you go. Adults, be careful what you look at. They're saying internet pornography is out of control. It showed a recent survey, and I don't know how much you put into the surveys, but 7% of pastors say they struggle with pornography. 12% of youth pastors say they struggle with pornography. I know of pastors that are out of the ministry now. They never got a handle on it. Now, I know you can sit there saying, well, I don't get involved in that. Well, good. But that's just a really big illustration of what we're talking about, deeds of darkness. Sometimes I'm embarrassed to be on the internet with some of the pictures that, you know, it's the headline picture. I'm not talking about the storyline. I'm talking about the headline picture. I'm going, good grief. I know she can afford clothes. Why do we have to do that? So this is what's happening. Clean it up. Be careful where you go, what you do. Be careful of what attitudes you form. Because your attitudes need to be based on this book, the Bible. Your attitude towards the homeless. Your attitude towards people who are just seems that they struggle in life, period. What are we going to do? How about the next one? We need to light up. That sounds bad. Light up. God is love. God is light in a very dark world. I didn't write this one out. This is John. I don't think you even have it. John chapter 8, if you want to write it down. John 8, 12. Okay? This is Christ speaking. The subheading of my Bible says, Jesus is the light of the world. This is what we speak of when we say light up. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's an awesome verse. Need to go home and read that. Do some study of it. I'm the light of the world, and if you walk in the light of Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about deeds of darkness because you're going to be far away from them. And young folks, I know it's very difficult for you because the majority of kids, well, at least half the kids, don't go to church of any kind. They don't have a moral compass. They don't have a so there you are. You're in school with them. You're in college with them. And they live a whole different lifestyle than you. Don't get overwhelmed with it. Stay away from it. Just pour more time into reading what Jesus has to say about life. My Bible is one of those red letter editions, and it's kind of neat to go into the scriptures and the gospels, and you can see exactly what Jesus said. That helps us with our attitudes, and it helps us with so many things. It strengthens our heart. I used to have another verse, but I guess I won't read it. So I have to print verses because I can't read the scriptures. 1 John 2:10. Okay? 1 John 2:10. Says, whoever loves his neighbor lives in the light. Does anybody, don't put your hand up. This is rhetorical. Okay, so keep your hand down. Anybody here have trouble sleeping at night? I just put my hand up. I do. And you know, it took me a while of stubbing my toes and hitting my knees on furniture, going from my bedroom to the kitchen to take some medicine of some sort. And then I got a real, just an unbelievable revelation from somewhere. That you can buy lights that you plug in the sockets, and at night they pop on. And I sit there in the bathroom, I got one there, and I flip the light on, and it's going, and Dawn says, what are you doing? I said, I'm playing with a light. I said, this is cool. Well, it's maybe an exaggeration, but it's true. Listen, Jesus Christ is the light. He's more than the night light. He's the light of the world. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you've accepted him as your Savior, listen, you're following the ultimate source of light. That's how much God loved us. He sent that source of light to us. You chew on that for a while. All right? So we got to light it up. Remember the old gospel quartet song? Barb's smiling already. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? You ever heard that one, Cindy? Oh, my, that's a powerful song. Very, very powerful song. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, this ship wouldn't be here, is what it's saying. We follow the light of Jesus, and I know I've maybe been too much of a downer this morning, but it's okay. You'll get over it. I don't want you to get over it. I hope you'll forgive me if it's really bothered you, but this is what God told me to say to Christians. We have the light. We don't have to apologize to anybody. No one. We have the light. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Light. No one comes to the Father but by me. Isn't that awesome? And that Jesus died for me. That Jesus died for you. So don't ever think that you're old and worthless if you feel that way. I remember my sweet mama, she says, I can't teach. She taught kids all her life in Sunday school. And she got into her 60s, late 60s, 70s. She says, I'm just not much good anymore. I said, what are you talking about? She says, I just can't handle the kids and I just feel bad. And she did. I says, Mom, do you know how to hold a baby and rock that baby in a chair? She said, well, you know I do. I says, that's right, and you know it too. Well, guess what she did the next couple of weeks? She went to the people in charge of the nursery at church, and she had the job of being grandma that rocked babies so that mamas could go to Sunday school and not worry about who's taking care of her kids because everybody knew Jean. See, that's what we can do. That's what we got to do. And the last thing I put down is this, and I got to stop. Grow up. It's time for Christians. We need to grow up. Don't get caught up in these petty arguments and discussions, as important as they might be. We've got to get on with life. We have to get on with things. We have to do what God wants us to do. Here, verses 13 and 14. Let us behave properly as in the day. That takes discipline. That takes discipline. And that's how you grow up. He says there, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, I called it bickering and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Lord, I'm being tempted right now. I need some strength. Help, pull me away from this. I remember reading about a man who was hooked on the pornography. He was a Christian man, and he says, I literally would cry. I would literally cry as I prayed to Jesus because he said I was embarrassed to ask him for the help, and I thought, don't be embarrassed. He says, get me away. Hit the off button. Throw the computer out. Oh, did I really say that? There's some things we might have to get rid of in our life. So this is what God intended for us, was to love one another, to love our neighbors. That's what it's all about. He gives us the power to be a loving person. Okay? I don't have the time here. Galatians 5:22, you know this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Okay? I want you to read that passage, and just what I did was I circled the word love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. We're commanded to love. And this is what it's all about. It empowers us, strengthens us, encourages us, makes us obedient. Okay? But I circled the word love. I did this years ago. Circle the word love. Put a period there. And then the characteristics of love should be joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So love is to be made up of joy and peace. I didn't say happiness. Happiness depends on what's going on around us. Joy is what's happening on inside of us. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's what we're talking about. If you go to 1 Corinthians 13, you know all about the love chapter, as it's always called. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You ever been to a concert? And the guys there playing the drums, or I'm talking about maybe a middle school concert, I don't know. But you're sitting there and all of a sudden...